Welcome to the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, dedicated to students, alumni, and fans that truly bleed green. Follow us on Twitter at GoMeanGreen and visit our website, GoMeanGreen.com.
Love that!
Here we go!
Now, your hosts of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast, Evan, Harry, and Ashton.
Hello and welcome to the 165th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
This is Ashton.
We are here to talk North Texas football. Gentlemen, Harry, I didn't mention this last week, but happy 10th anniversary. We've been doing these for 10 years.
Wow.
Yes, it's 165th edition, 10 years. The first one we did was Daryl Dickey's last year with the program, which was 10 years ago.
So. And that was like in the library?
Yes, we did it at the library at the study rooms in the library that first year.
At UNT.
Yeah, it was a big deal, and I didn't realize we'd be doing this for 10 years, but here we are. Now, how many winning seasons we've had in those 10 years is another story all in itself.
That would be one.
Yes, but oh, what a glorious one season it was. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and start out. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but for those of you in the chat room and those of you joining in, one thing that we've got now that we're going to be doing. We have a call-in live taking phone call number. We'll be putting it up in the chat room. We actually have a call screener, UNT grad 90, Todd. He's going to be doing our call screening tonight. And so you guys can talk about whatever you want to talk about. So right now we're limiting it to 5 lines. Whenever you call in, he will answer, talk to you, whatever you want to talk about, and put you on hold. You can listen to the show while on hold. And then we'll bring you in as we see necessary. And some of you we won't bring in just because we don't have to. So we're going to go ahead and put that number up in just a second. And we're going to go ahead and start talking. So big game this weekend. Obviously, it was an opponent we expected to beat. But what did you think of the performance?
A win's a win. I mean, you know, remember Portland State, you know, and I understand that Bethune-Cookman is not Florida. But that was a much needed win. To start off the season, to feel good about yourself. You could see it on the players' faces, on the coaches' faces, that, you know, it's been a long time, you know, since we've seen a win. And, you know, it was just nice to see. And definitely made you feel good about the future of the program and hopefully a whole lot more wins to come.
Yeah, it was one of those, you know, it's hard to say big win because we should win this game, but it was kind of a big win just in terms of Seth Luttrell's first win, you know, the first win while we have a new AD, Mason Fine's first win as a starting quarterback, a lot of firsts for this game. And you can tell after the game that the Coach Luttrell actually took it in, you know, took it to heart and was smiling a lot and high-fiving. And seeing him high-five the players or the fans in the student section, that's always really
cool. That was cool.
So, yeah, it was really cool. And he's not as tall as Mac, so like Mac's like right there, so it's like really reaching
he's
up
reaching
there.
Up yeah. to get to him.
it's pretty good. It's pretty cool. But you know, he was after the game, and you know, Ren came into the locker room, said some things to the team. That'll be on this week's show. So that's kind of a cool little moment. And just seeing that, and the players really, you know, it was funny. It kind of reminded me of the Idaho win a few years back, where it was just such jubilation like after the game because. They knew they were going to win. They were confident. They knew they should win. You know, it's a home game that you should win. But it's one of those games where when, it, you know, you do it and it kind of it meant something. And granted, it was Bethune-Cookman. But, you know, it meant a lot to these guys. And I talked to a lot of the guys after the game, and they were just happy to be a part of Luttrell's first win.
Hey, and a Bethune-Cookman team that won 9 games last year. So.
And they tried to win. Like, they're not bad. You know, they had
some good size on the lines.
Where was the guy that ran Akevious at the end? Like, where was he all game? He was the backup because he's the backup, right? It's nope. Like he seemed like he had a lot of like. I think he went in. I don't know. Maybe I'm totally wrong about that, but he's all of a sudden was kind of like, where's that guy been the whole game? Like, they still, they should have been playing him earlier.
I just thought the size of their team was pretty impressive, you know, especially on their offensive line. And they definitely gave him a fight. I mean, they didn't just lay down. But a win's a win, and that's, you know, great news for the program, and hopefully we'll just see a whole lot more.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the whole, like, opponent we were playing size thing, they were actually surprisingly bigger than I thought they were. And they, you know,
they were bigger than us.
Yeah, I mean, they had some guys on the line that weren't, you know, and they blocked a punt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when that happens, you know, you're obviously, you got some chops at that point. You know, I mean, we've got good special teams, and I kind of felt bad for Perry because he had a great night.
Because I texted
me. And I talked to him after the game, and he did not want me to talk to him. And I talked to him on Tuesday, yesterday actually, last night I was up there, and I said, "Hey man, you know, just, you know, you did some good things, right?" He's like,
"No, he did some good things."
No, he was pissed.
Well, it's just the facial expressions on the sidelines. Oh, Let me tell you, this Coach Luttrell is not one to, you know, use the Dr. Spock method of dealing with children or whatever. I mean, he makes it known how he feels about something.
He Perry told me, you know, that and I hope Perry doesn't care of me saying this, but, like, you know, Perry, you know, Luttrell was, it didn't matter, you know, that we returned a kick or we blocked a kick and had a really good kick return and we blocked a punt for a touchdown. What mattered more was that we got a punt blocked. And, you know, I like the level of expectation that Perry has for himself being a good special teams guy that he is and a bright mind, and that Luttrell doesn't just not care about special teams, excuse me. So I think that was kind of
those are things that can be fixed.
Totally. And, you know, it's going to happen, but, you know.
All right, so, you know, there's a lot of things to see there, a lot of positives, a few negatives, but it was a good game after the loss to SMU to kind of regroup, see where we're at, and get some people some little more experience before a tough Florida game. So join us online now. It looks like we've got Silver Eagle, who is obviously a longtime fan. Let's bring him on and see what he thought of the game.
First caller.
The first caller, Silver Eagle. Silver, can you hear us?
He's too busy laughing at us.
Hey, Silver Eagle, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, Harry. How are you other guys doing?
We're doing great. So what did you think of the game? What did you think of everything that you saw out there?
Well, people say, well, it was Bethune-Cookman. And as Harry pointed out, they you know, it was the Bethune-Cookman team that won last 9 games last year. And I was watching them, and I was thinking, these guys are athletic, and these guys are strong. And we, you know, whatever North Texas got Saturday night, they pretty much, you know, Bethune-Cookman made them earn it, and they were knocking us around some in that game.
Well, this is a team that they had a respectable season last year. They weren't a pushover.
9 wins, I think, right?
Yeah,
I think that. The funny thing is, some of the people I talked to after this game is that there was actually some people that may have been more worried coming out of the game than they were super stoked that we won, because there were some issues that, like Silver Eagle just said, you know, they kind of pushed us around a little bit, made us earn it. I think that there's a few people that said that they were, you know, they didn't know if it was not a bad thing, but in terms of just, you know, why were they able to do some of the things they were able to do against what should have been a superior, more superior opponent in us.
Well, I think
they didn't come to the game pick up a paycheck. It was obvious they didn't come here to pick up a paycheck, and they played hard, and they made us earn it. They're a pretty credible team, and I expect to see them in the playoffs end of the year. We got a lot of confidence. Playing against somebody that didn't give up. They, you know, a lot of teams would, around the end of the third quarter and behind as far as they were, would just kind of call it in. But they didn't give up. They kept fighting, and I think that was a good lesson for us. And I think we, you know, getting in there and mixing it up with somebody that determined to win was a good thing for us. I was really impressed with. Like everybody is, with Mason Fine and how he he's running the show. When he's out there on that field, he's running the show. And when was the last time we had it? I mean, it just oozes out of every pore. If you read body language.
Well, and you know that's an excellent point.
He loves playing quarterback. He's not somebody who can play quarterback or has the specific skills to, you know, I've learned to throw the ball, you know, hard, or I'm pretty fast. This is a guy who just loves playing quarterback and loves being in charge, and it just oozes out of every pore.
Well, and you know, Vito had an article this week about, you know, North Texas has been waiting for a quarterback to take control. He brought up Visa and had quite a bit of writing about Visa, and I think, you know, that's warranted. We tend to forget that Visa had quite a pedigree coming in. He had a lot of skills. He was, you know, wasn't surrounded by a whole lot of talent, and I think that just made it tough. So we really need that quarterback, and, you know, we almost have to kind of double-check and think, well, are we just really wanting Fine to be the person, or are we really seeing what we think we're seeing out
Look,
there?
Look, he's the guy. I mean, okay? He is the guy.
You said the same thing about Morris 4 weeks ago, though.
Okay,
remember
well,
that?
You know.
I'm just saying.
I changed my mind.
We hadn't seen Morris at that point. We were just hoping, because he had the background, that
he
could come in here
Morris
and lead
in the spring game.
Yeah, no, against other talent with what he can do out there.
No, so I get it. I just
you know what I'm saying.
I think that, I don't know.
I'm gonna drop Ashton.
You should drop Ashton, because I got some hot sports opinions about what we think about quarterbacks. No, I think that there's... It just seems to me that, like, you know, there's always somebody that we're looking for, and then we get an idea, and then when there's just any kind of little shred of positivity that comes out of that player, it's the second coming. And then, you know, we just almost kind of get our hearts broken when that player, you know, again, Mason Fine, we talked about how good Bethune-Cookman was. I mean, so he wasn't playing a cupcake team, but he still was playing a team that he should have beat. And he is good. He's very good. I don't know if I'm 100%, I mean, going into the game, if I was 100% comfortable with the fact that we were starting a true freshman, you know, and we got rid of Morris, you know, after three quarters. But, you know, that's what happened.
Well, Silver, thanks for joining. We got a couple other calls here that are coming up, but thanks for being the first caller. And I know that you wanted to say you were the first-time caller, long-time listener, right?
That's true. I wanted to say those very things.
All right. Thanks for listening. And
thanks, Silver.
We'll see you out there.
Okay.
Take care.
Talk to you guys later.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. So we got a couple other here. We got Tony. Tony
King DL1.
Tony King DL1's on the line. So let's see what he has to say. Tony, you there?
Yeah, that was fast.
Hey, man, that's what we're here for.
How's it going, Tony?
It's going great.
So, Tony, tell us.
I want to know who's going to Houston. And...
Go ahead.
I was calling just to find out about Houston.
Okay, Houston game. That's for the Rice competition. That's what, 2 weeks away? 3 weeks away? Somebody tell me.
Two.
All right. Does anybody, that's one thing that'll be coming up here. That's an easy ride. What time is that game?
It's a 5.
It's a 5 o'clock game. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you got to stay the night, but it's still an easy trip. I mean,
you can go back
4 hours down there. The weather will probably be nice. It'll be good. So, for those of you listening out there, Tony, I guess you're going to make it. Are you doing the whole setup down there? Or are you just going solo?
I don't know yet. I'm waiting to see if I can get some cohorts.
I'll be down there.
Yeah, Ashton will be down there.
Ashton could be your date.
Yep, totally. Let's do it.
Well, we'll see who's in the room that's going to go, and if you're going to go down there, maybe we should start a thread and so make sure everybody coordinates, because how the athletic department's going to set up their tailgating is always a
UNT 90 grad's going. He just posted in the chat room.
Oh, good.
For those of you that don't know, Tony is King DL1 on the board. He's been a good friend of the site and the show for a long time, but he has the best damn tailgate at North Texas, and. You know, our tailgating area is a lot of fun, and Tony is well known and renowned for his famous balls. So his meatballs are the best in town. Anyway, I just had to throw that out.
Are you going to bring your balls down to Houston?
We'll have to see about that. Now, a lot of people put a lot of hard work into that tailgate. It's a long ways from just me.
That is true.
Very good point.
There's a lot of people there, but
jello shots.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people don't.
Brandon, Victor, and that whole group.
Right. A lot of people don't actually make it into the game because of your tailgate, too. I think that's.
Which last year really wasn't a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's actually better out there.
I think you should start shuffling them out of there a little earlier this year because we're hoping that things will turn around. Well, Tony, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony.
Thanks, bye. All right, so how did this game this past week set us up for Florida? What can we take from this game that's going to tell us we're really going to hurt or we're going to have something good against Florida?
I don't know. That's one of Florida's stats against Kentucky are pretty salty. I mean, what they did to an SEC school. Granted, bottom tier of the SEC, but bottom tier of the SEC would probably still, you know, give us a good run for the money. So, you know, I don't know. I think on defense, Florida's pretty good. Really good. I don't know if they're as good as Georgia was when we played Georgia a few years back, you know, at their house. You know, and Georgia just kind of didn't really get up for that game in a little bit. And, you know, honestly, I talked to some Florida fans who live in Dallas who are, you know, Florida alums, and they say that the Florida doesn't get up for games like this. Right. They have a history of not getting up for games. Georgia used to do the same thing. They just really wouldn't turn it on. And then all of a sudden, oh, wait, we're, you know, for the Georgia game, but we're tied in the third quarter. We need to turn it on. Then, you know, they beat us by 3 touchdowns or 2 touchdowns. But I think it gives us enough confidence to go in, and I don't think the guys are going to walk in and lay down. It's not just a paycheck game for us. I know that, and that's not the way Luttrell thinks.
Right. Well, if we can have a performance like we did against Georgia, I think that would be awesome. Whether or not we have special teams weapons is going to be a big question. And are we still looking at rain on Saturday?
I know there's a possibility. I haven't looked recently to see if that's changed, but I knew there was a possibility of showers.
And then how that's going to affect our game as well as theirs. There's several different things there, but I don't. It's hard to gauge what we still have.
Well, here's what I do like is, you know, when it was Mac going into these games or Daryl Dickey or whoever, it was always we'd have to be very, very fortunate and very lucky for this game for us to even be close in this game in the fourth quarter. You don't get that kind of message or rhetoric from Luttrell. Luttrell is like, I'm extremely excited about this opportunity. This is a great opportunity for this program. I love that attitude. He sees this as, man, if we go down there and can execute on offense and defense, you know, we can surprise some people. Sure, it's a tall task. I hadn't even looked at the line. What is it? Probably 30 points.
I don't even know. I didn't. Yeah. I mean, I stopped looking at lines like these kind of games because it just you know, either makes me really mad or I get overconfident and you know not to get that way anymore.
But the bottom line is he's not saying that this is going to be a you know, obviously it's a big challenge, but he's not saying that, which I like. You know, I like the aggressiveness that he has. Now, will that change over time? That remains to be seen. But at least for right now, this is a different attitude than what we've seen from past coaches about these type of games.
Yeah, I think that Luttrell is going to walk into every game and just kind of assume that they're going to put up some points and try to get better. You know, he knows that they're in a rebuilding phase right now, so he's not stupid about that. He's not being naive, but at the same time, like he's basically getting everything is taped on his own team. Essentially, he's just trying to build all this tape and try to figure out what he's got still. And I think he knows what he has. But at the same time, he needs to go out there and see. You know, he's trying to figure out lineups. He's trying to figure out who's balling out, who needs to get better, what they can do better, and you know.
What are we looking at injuries?
For who we have injured right now?
Yeah. Have we had any? I mean,
nothing new really popped up after Saturday, to my knowledge. I know that Jeffrey came out, and people kind of freaked out about that. That was just precautionary.
Right.
We're up by a lot. You know, he had that shoulder thing a couple of years ago, or that was his freshman year. I believe he had a separated shoulder that kind of gave him some problems throughout the season. Not as bad as like Rex Rollins, where it just was broken and then every shattered. But I think that they're just always, when they can get him out and get it elevated, get him out and get it elevated.
What does it say that Fine kind of got shook up a little bit and the game was in hand at that point and we still put Morris in and brought him back out and put Fine back in.
Morris came back in and finished the game.
Was it just because we just want to get him as many reps?
I think we had a comfortable lead. It's not going to hurt to get more reps. Coach doesn't dislike Morris. I can definitely say that in confidence. This is more about Mason's potential and what he can do and what he showed them against SMU than it is against Morris, you know, messing up. I know that, you know, again, you know, it's funny how this is when Harry and I were kind of texting back and forth during the game about this. And I just, I think it's interesting to me how short of a leash everybody gave Morris, because that was his first start as well. You know, this wasn't like, he's a fifth-year senior, but he's not a regular fifth-year senior. And it's like, we gave the guy three quarters. And again, Mason is really good, and he's showing a lot. And it's his job to lose right now, I assume. Again, can't jump in coach's mind, but why would he take him out now? But at the same time, I don't know if Morris is really done a ton to lose it, as opposed to Mason just being more productive. And, you know, Morris getting in there and throwing that pass that I think it was a little behind him on the interception. And, you know, it hit the hands, but it went up in there, and then it went for pick six. That's never going to help. So, you know, I think that with Mason having a knee, like, little ding, there's no reason to put him back out there in that situation until – I think if it would have gotten pretty close, Mason would have come back out. But
well, I wouldn't see – go ahead, Aaron.
Well, I was just going to say, and you guys, for whatever reason, I missed how that injury exactly – I was watching another
he
part of
the
field.
He got a helmet on the knee.
Yeah, but was that a dirty hit?
Well, he got 15 yards.
I know. It seemed
I think
to
it was
me like
late.
It was after the.
I think it was late.
It's that scared the crap out of me. I remember
you look
every
at the, yeah you look
everyone
at the
on our and our set that I was with watching that was just like, oh my gosh, what a nightmare! The typical North Texas. This guy's the bright future, and he gets a cheap shot to the knee. But I was just surprised. I didn't see any coaches running out or anything in terms of. So I wanted to throw that out there.
I don't think anybody saw that it was dirty. Like, they couldn't see it. There was no talk on the sidelines, let's put it that way, of it being dirty. But I do know that going into the game, I heard multiple coaches talk to their units during meetings and just pep talks throughout the week, and they said that don't get baited into that S. Yeah. You know, don't get baited in. Like, Bethune-Cookman plays like that. They have a reputation for baiting you into personal fouls and retaliating, and they'll play that game, well, probably because they play a lot of opponents that are superior to them. They need to try to find the upper hand or try to find any kind of advantage. And a lot of coaches mentioned that. So that hit, I immediately thought, okay, this is somebody probably trying to go for his legs, because it was low. And
what
that
a
was
nightmare that would have been. Golly, thank
yeah.
Tough
goodness. Kid, though. I mean, we were standing right there I was filming it. We were standing right there with House and Dustin Hill. We're talking to him. Dustin Hill's the head athletic trainer. House is the orthopedic surgeon, for anybody who didn't know. Mason was, you know, the whole time he's kind of squirting water in his mouth. Like, he's kind of like resting, and he's like, no, I'm going back in. And that was pretty cool. And he got up and took some reps, and he said, yeah, I just got banged on the knee. And, you know, I love Latrell puts him out there in the first play. He's a draw. I mean, that was just the brass on that dude to call that play was that's fun. So
we've got a game it's a really tough game this week, and then we've got Rice. So
we can
Rice is not having a great of a year.
No,
so we
that's
could
a winnable
we
game.
Could be at a situation where we could possibly be 2-2. And I think at 2-2 this early in the season.
What about 3-1, man?
Okay, I like the way you're thinking, Ashton, but of all the people, come on now. So, hey, I would love to see it. I would love to see it. But, you know, 2-2, I think, would be nice, considering how we thought that the season could possibly.
Oh, I'd be ecstatic. That'd be fantastic, given the way things started.
Right, right. Now, Army and some of the other teams, we thought we might have a better shot. Army's
gonna
looking
be
better
tougher
than they thought.
And I mean, to my credit, I've said that a long time ago, so not to pat myself on the back.
That was,
you
was
also
awesome.
Mentioned Quinn Shambor like a few months ago. I'm just going to keep bringing that up.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Old news.
Dark
old news.
There. Wow. All right. So, any other comments from that game? Any other thing we saw? I mean,
I had two players that I wanted to give kudos to, because as this season goes on, you see more guys that start to emerge as serious, look like they got some talent. Tyler Wilson, guy can play. He's going to be fun to watch. He had the big return.
In the block.
And we've got to get him the ball. That guy has got some talent. And then I have to give my man, Willie Ivory, you know,
he's
again,
shifty, man. He's
he
great
is
open
really
field.
Hard. And it's going to be fun to watch him get – I hope they get him the ball a lot against Florida, because I think he has the kind of shiftiness that's really hard even for a high caliber – because Florida's just, let's be honest, they're all 4- and 5-star guys that they recruit. But I really like Willie Ivory. I think we've got to get him the ball more than we are right now. I think he's that good.
Well, I mean, it was only his first. He didn't play game one, so I think we gamed the ball a lot for just one game, right? Willie Ivory's shifty. He's great in the open field. I want to get him on some of those swing passes that we give Gabe Wilson
as a receiver. Yeah, they never pass him.
Yeah. I mean, Jeffrey Wilson caught 8 balls against SMU. Like, I'd love for Willie to get 5 of those this week. You know, if we're going to throw the ball to the receiver or to a running back in the flats, let's give it to Willie more than Jeffrey, because frankly, I mean, you know, keep Jeffrey between the tackles, you know, even though he, you know, watch his shoulder and make sure he's going to, he needs to stay healthy. I think he's one of the biggest keys, and I like the fact that we have some nice depth right now. Tucker played well. I mean, he had a good touchdown that he earned, and then they scooped up the block. But yeah, Willie Ivory, he's got a lot of potential, and you know, I think he's got his head on straight. He's in a good place, and you know, hopefully he just keeps excelling in the classroom and on the field, and then the coaches just get more confidence in him and give him the ball.
What's going to be our game plan against Florida this week?
I would imagine be a little fairly conservative, maybe just to, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think he does conservative.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Do you think he will dial it down? Or is he going to just go for it all?
I don't think he'll go. I would predict more dialing it down and not just letting it all hang out kind of mentality. But I don't know. I don't know. It's the fun thing about right now is that we've only had 2 games and we have no idea how to predict what Coach Luttrell's going to do. If it was Mac, we'd be like, he's going to run the ball 65 times and, you know,
so
throw
Marty,
the ball 4.
Marty brings up why he has been a disappointment so far.
I think he's trying to figure it all out. Man, it's hard to go from JUCO to Division One. I mean, it's not easy, and I think that I talked to Perry about it in particular because you know he's on special teams, and he said he's trying to figure it all out. I mean, it's coming along, but it's kind of a work in progress. I don't think it's going to be. I think by game 5, if you don't see an improvement, then yeah, we got something to worry about, and the guy might not be what we hoped he would. You know, I mean, our long list of great transfers.
Yeah, it's so far. You know, it's been a little bit underwhelming with him, but it's early.
You know, it's also one of those things where I think you have to get into some kind of rhythm. And when he's in a rotation like that, where he's really with Ivory being healthy, he's going to be third in the pecking order in terms of runs. So that's going to be hard for him to get a kind of a rhythm. And I like him on punt return. So hopefully, you know, we could see him in the open field. But yeah, I mean, I think he's maybe some nerves. You know, he's probably pretty nervous again. You know, it's. It's only been 2
transition,
games.
Yeah.
Yeah, transition's hard, man. Yeah.
All right, so Beyond the Green this week.
Yeah, it's airing on Thursday, 4 o'clock.
Thursday, 4 o'clock.
Moving on. Nuts.
You know what really really ticks me off is we get Vito on here sometimes, and he doesn't tell us what's going to happen, and we all give him a hard time. And then Ashton comes in here, and he's the same damn way.
Man,
oh,
what
you
is –
you just got to tune in. We don't even throw
us. He's big time in this.
He is.
I was just kidding. I was just joking. I can't believe you.
You could throw us a tidbit.
Made that comparison is awesome. Thanks.
Throw us a tidbit. What do we got?
No, this week's going to be. It's a lot of game. You know, the game was. There was a lot of scoring plays. A lot of things happening on the sidelines. Mason getting hurt. We covered that. We were able to kind of focus on that a little bit. A lot of good halftime stuff. A lot of good pregame. And then a lot of, obviously, after the game, celebrations. So it's going to be heavy on the Bethune-Cookman game. And then there's a segment at the beginning, kind of a behind-the-scenes on Seth's radio show that he goes to each week and just kind of going there with him and seeing him talk to fans and hearing what he has to say. And, you know, so, you know, it's just, this one's kind of a simple one. All the features and profiles are kind of being concocted right now that'll kind of take us into the season where, you know, when we usually have stories about players and stuff like that. So this week's a lot of football because, like I said last week, I feel that there needs to be, you know, some – we don't know who these guys are, so I'm still trying to introduce all these coaches and coaches and personalities to the fan base because, again, you know, you're not going to see guys like Derek LeBlanc that often in press conferences and interviewed by Vito or the other writers because they're just a defensive line coach or Brown or,
right.
You know, Reffitt and even Eckler for that matter. And, you know, really the names I think people keep going after, Luttrell and Graham Harrell, just because of name recognition. And it's, you know, it's one of my jobs I think right now is to try to get some of these coaches some publicity, not to do anything more than just allow the Harrys and the Evans of the world to meet these guys essentially.
And I don't really want you to comment on this, Ashton, just because you're close to the situation. But one of the things, especially on the first episode of Beyond the Green, I think it was the first one. Now they're running together. no, it was the first one. It was the SMU. No, it was the second one. Graham Harrell during the SMU game, his kind of pep halftime. There's a lot of comments on the board. It was an excellent episode. There's a lot of comments on the board that maybe he was still a little nervous, trying to find his place, not quite as confident as a lot of people would have thought he would have been. What were your takes on that? Okay, Ashton's going to reply anyway.
Ashton
should be. Just kidding, man.
Evan is killing me tonight. Oh, my God. I can't do anything right.
No, I just don't want you to have to put you in a position where, you know.
No, I didn't see any of those posts, honestly. What's the GoMeanGreen.com board?
Oh, jeez.
I'm just kidding.
So big time.
I'm not. I post things on there. Beyond the green. Anyway, I didn't see any of those posts. I am kind of filming a lot during the week, so I don't get to get on the board as much as I probably would like. So what was being said? He was just being kind of nervous.
Well, yeah, his pep, he seemed a little it was trying to pump the players up.
I think it's more about how he comes off. He's a pretty confident dude. I mean, I think you have to have the pedigree in terms of, like,
he's got the skins on the wall.
Super Bowl ring.
Nobody is.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, people kind of forget about that one, too. Yeah.
Nobody's questioning his
acumen.
Exactly.
Sure.
He's got it. But, I mean, is this the first time he's been in that position where he's got to really, you know, on that side of it all?
Yeah, I can kind of see that. I think that, I don't really know how to answer it, I guess, because I can see why somebody would say that, because I think that when I first started hearing Graham coaching and how he comes off, it is almost kind of casual in a way, and it kind of sounds like, I mean, remember, he's a 31-year-old dude. I mean, he's not an old vet. So, I mean, I think that he's maybe trying to find his way, and I think he knows his way. I shouldn't say find it, but I think he's just trying to figure out how to, like, get through to these guys and also figure out what's the best way to come across in this manner, you know, because this is his first time being an offensive coordinator, and he's trying to figure everything out and in terms of who he's got. And these players are still also new to these guys, and most of them aren't their guys. You know, that's another thing. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that because we have like 50-something new players, but which is still an astronomical number if you think about it. We have like 53 new players when we were suited up against SMU that we didn't have on the team last year. That's almost unheard of. But anyway, and I think that there is a little bit of maybe not apprehension, but maybe just kind of trying to figure it out. But I really think the majority of it is just how he comes across, maybe like on, like visually like that. Like it just sounds so kind of casual. Maybe that's how it is. I didn't read the post, so I don't really know how much to say. Yeah.
Well, hey, joining us on the line, we've got Brett, who just showed up to give his 2 cents. Brett, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here with you guys. How are you doing?
Great. With a little different technology, so hopefully you can hear us pretty well tonight.
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Great. So, Brett, what was your take on the game? I mean, obviously, you've got a couple articles out, and I'm going to reference one of those here in a second. But overall, is that what you expected out of the game?
Pretty much. I mean, that was, you know, that's what you schedule one, you know, an FCS team for. You know, you get your win, you get some confidence. You know, that's why you schedule those games. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You kind of hope that you don't have another situation where, like North Texas had a couple years ago, where it did well last year, where it didn't go well against an FCS team. But you don't expect that to happen very often. So they got their win. They paid a little bit of money to do it, and that's the name of the game. And for North Texas, they need every win they can get. So, you know, I think the bottom line is they got what they needed.
You did an article earlier this week about Fine and is he the quarterback? You referenced Visa, and you know, we talk about successful quarterbacks in the last 10 years. We always talk about Derek Thompson, but Visa had a lot of skills and a strong background, but he wasn't surrounded by a lot of talent, and you referenced that. Do you feel – we kind of came away from your article feeling like you thought Fine could be different.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the point. I mean, I think the argument I was trying to make is, you know, North Texas has been down this road before. They've been in a situation where they've had a young quarterback where people got excited and for whatever reason didn't work out. With Giovanni, I don't think it was had a whole hell of a lot to do with Giovanni. I think it was kind of a little bit of a coaching situation and talent situation and the fact that they kind of hung him out to dry and he got pounded on every week. They've had other young quarterbacks. Riley didn't work out because of injuries and various things like that. And then, you know, you had Dijon. He didn't work out because of maybe some maturity issues, some off-the-field issues, that kind of thing. But, you know, you kind of just feel like with this kid is incredibly mature. He seems like a talented player. I mean, the only thing that really seems like you can get in this kid's way is just the fact that he's so – he's just not a very big kid, you know. He's one of those guys you kind of hope he doesn't somehow end up getting broken in half somewhere along the line.
That's why I put it. So what do you think – do you think they just try to play it conservative and stay healthy against Florida and look forward to Rice and how the season's going for Rice? I hope to get a win out of that.
I don't know. I just don't think that's in Latrell's personality. I just don't. I mean, logistically, I mean, what sense does it make, you know, to bring Fine out for the Bethune-Cookman game, which you're going to win anyway, unless you plan on playing him and trying to get him ready for the rest of the season? I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. So I think they roll him out there, and then if things get nasty, then you put your other guy in and you go from there. I think that's the only thing that really makes a help a lot of sense. So
Brett, is it safe for us to put you on the Mason Fine bandwagon at this point? I mean, are you willing to go on the record at this point?
Well, I mean, I think he's your quarterback in the future at this point. I don't think you pull a fifth-year senior quarterback. You don't think you yank him out of the lineup, you know, just to say, well, let's see what this guy, the other kid's got, and then put the older guy back in. I think at this point you've got to go with the two quarterback system and kind of ride what you've done, and that's everything Latrell says he's going to do. And there's no reason to doubt Latrell doing what he says he's going to do, and that's play both guys and look at the particular situation. I think that's awfully smart on his part because, you know, Fine still is a freshman. I mean, what happens if he gets – and he's a smaller guy. What happens if he gets rung up against Florida? He gets hit real hard and, you know, you've got to take him out of there. Or if, you know, he has an off game and you still have another guy behind him that you can play. And Alex Horst is a pretty talented guy. I mean, you know, everybody's acting like – I think there's some people that are writing him off too soon. I think he can probably still be a pretty important and effective player this year.
All right, Brett, so anything coming up in the next few days, anything to look for before we let you go?
Yeah, we got a humdinger on scheduling for tomorrow. So I know that's the hot-button topic on among fans. Ren Baker was nice enough to take a few minutes to chat with me this week about scheduling and about what his vision is for what North Texas needs to do. I think he provided some pretty terrific insight on what he might plan to do with the schedule going forward, and that will post tonight. I also, you know, I try to make it a Thursday's our day when we have a space for a big kind of broader, longer, you know, big picture type story. So I also got a hold of one of the guys that played in the 1974 game, which was the last time against San Diego State that North Texas won a game against a ranked team. North Texas lost 37 straight since, and since North Texas is going to a game against a ranked team this week, I thought it'd be a good time to look at it. So you'll get some perspective from a guy that played in a game, the only game that North Texas has ever won over a ranked team. And I think the important thing is what the new athletic director says about what direction he wants to take scheduling. So I think that'll be a really well-read and pretty interesting thing for North Texas fans, and that'll post tonight.
Right. A lot of interest in that. So, all right, Brett, well, we appreciate it. Thanks for joining in. We will hopefully get to talk to you again next week.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on, and have a good night.
Thanks, you
too. Good night.
Brett is the beat writer for the University of North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle. So that's an interesting that he's going to have that out because everybody has – there was a long four-page thread about scheduling and the body bag games and who we want to play, and there was a lot of question about what Seth wants to see out of that. So I'll be anxious to see what he has to say.
Well, and we missed – I mean, I think we touched on the – COO hire last week, but today it was announced that the CFO position, which reports directly to Renbaker, was hired, and she's got, and I don't have her name right here in front of me.
Yeah, her name is Stacy Martin.
Stacy Martin, who was the CFO, I believe, for the American Athletic Conference.
Yeah, she's a CFO at the American
which, you know, man, that's pretty impressive, you know, that we hired someone that's got that level of experience. And again, if you're a North Texas fan, the bench of this athletic department in terms of the caliber of people that they're hiring and the level, you know, it seems like before, nothing against what we had before, but they're putting together a really strong team.
Well, I think they seem to be bringing in people that are running it as a business. She was previously the associate athletic director in charge of finance at Memphis as well. So, you know, these people have kind of a finance, they have a different type of a background than what we're used to seeing there. So
it just it shows a commitment. It just shows that the university realizes.
And a tight ship. I feel like they're going to run a tight ship and nothing's going to fall through the cracks and just linger out there, which is nice to see. All right. So what else do we want to talk about, gentlemen? I do want to bring in if I can get the right screen. I want to bring in our call screener tonight. I want to thank Todd for being the call screener tonight, and also who is UNT
90 grad.
Grad is important on the end of that. Hey, Todd, thanks for joining us. Can you tell us about the watching party this weekend?
Sure. We're going to be at Rudy's in Allen, which is right by Cabela's. It's off of Central Expressway up near Stacy Road in Allen. We'll start about 6 o'clock, and, you know, the kickoff's at 6:30. What we'll do is I've got a bucket, and people can write their name and email addresses and whatnot on that, drop it in the bucket, and we'll do some door prizes at halftime. The Alumni Association was nice enough to donate some UNT alumni pennants that we'll be giving away. I've got a bunch of those the glasses that have the NT alumni logo on one side. It's got the cartoon Scrappy on the other side. You guys have probably seen those at some of the events. Well, we've got some of those that we'll be giving away. We've got some sports bottles that turn green when you put the liquid in them. It's got the UNT Alumni Association logo on one side and Mean Green Club on the other. So we've got some fun new things we'll be giving away. And we usually have a pretty good time out at those events.
Yes, you've had it out at Rudy's before, and I think that's a really good setup for it. Everybody gets their food, come and sits down. Not really waitresses running around. And so it's a nice setup. I'll be out there as well. I think I'm bringing the wife and the family if I can get them all together. So I will definitely see you Saturday. And thanks for helping out with the calls tonight.
Hey, you bet. No problem.
All right. Thanks, Todd. All right. And for those of you that did call in, Silver Eagle, Tony, Brett, we do appreciate it. Trying out the new technology on this 165th edition of the podcast. We are going to try to do this every week. We have all the technology in place. If we can talk Todd into doing this call screener again, we also will probably turn on a function that after the game, if you have a specific comment, you can call in, leave a message, and we'll play some of those comments during the game. When you call in the number, it will leave a message. It'll tell you it's the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast voicemail, and leave a message, and we'll play some of those comments on air.
Can we give them the number right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The Go Mean Green Barbershop Podcast call-in number is 469-557-8669. So if you're listening to this on audio replay, jot that number down, put it in your cell phone, and remember, after the game, you can call in and give us your hot sports opinions, and we'll play them on the show. Again, that number is 469-557-8669.
I think it's also a good thing that people can do to call in and give us topics in the sense hey, something this happened during the game and I want you guys to talk about it, they want to hear about it rather than posting something or
getting
in the chat room and getting lost in the minutia or something like
that. I agree, but would you not call in that number with those topics?
Would I not?
Yeah, I don't want you to call in that number and give us topics, but anyone else can. That's
he's going to call in, disguise his voice, and said he wants to talk about Beyond the Green. All right,
dude,
with
take
that.
Take a joke, man. I'm just giving you a hard time.
All right, so with that, we're going to end the show. We're only a little less than an hour, and I want to thank our guests for joining us, and we will see you next week after the Florida game, before the Rice Grain game. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green. Go Mean Green.